mentioned last night about from Romans 12, where it tells us in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I mentioned how that word reasonable, you're intelligent. You know, I'm so thankful that we need the Holy Spirit, but God also causes us to think different. He teaches us, guides us. So important. I like to, at times, remind people to do a little self-analysis. Are you thinking differently than your co-workers or fellow students? Are you thinking differently now that you've received the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working in and through us? Do we weigh things differently? Do we handle things differently? Or have the patterns of our mind been altered by the Holy Spirit? Are, you know, changed in that way? Yes, God wants to do that for us. He says there, as we mentioned last night in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Another translation I brought out was, do not spend your days, is the essence of it, without thinking. Don't live your life without thinking. God wants us to think. He wants us to consider our ways. He wants us to, instead of panicking in situations or just falling into a rutted pattern, which the world, you know, which we all kind of do, He wants us to stop doing that and think differently. And how does that happen? It's by being sensitive to the voice of the shepherd, isn't it? And I spoke to us a couple days ago when it was, do you know the voice of the shepherd? How sensitive we need to be to His voice. That's why it's so good, as even Sister Nora brought out and Sister Martha brought out, that's why it's so good to say to your flesh, I want to leave, I want to go, I want to go to bed, you know, I didn't get anything out of this. Or you could say, well, you know, all that, and say, I just need... Sometimes it's good to sit in silence, wait on the Lord, and listen for His voice. You know, I've often, you know, I like to keep moving, and I like activity, you know. God had to get me to a place where I had to be alone, and I had to learn to just listen and train my ear for the Master's voice, train my ear for the Shepherd's voice to hear. What does that do for you? Well, then when you're in the world, when you're in a situation, when the seas begin getting a little bit rough, you're sensitive to hearing His voice. And that little whisper of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in how we react and what we do. It really does. So don't ever think, like I did more than once here at camp, that you're just sort of sitting and wasting your time and waiting for, you know, you can finally retire. Don't think you're wasting your time, because the Holy Spirit is working, and he's making us more sensitive to Himself. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I have as a pastor watching people being transformed. I think of one gentleman who came in, and I was sharing this with someone here, just watching God change him. Now, he had been a Christian, but, you know, he's a bit gruff. He's very gruff. I'll give you an example. When I first met him, when he first started coming, he greeted me, "Hi, Pastor," he said, and everything, and his wife wanted to say something, and he was like, "Wait a minute!" right in front of me. And, you know, it was kind of embarrassing. And that happened once, and that happened three times. And then his poor wife, she was just kind of like waiting more than 1 minute. You know, awkward situation. But to watch, you're smiling because you know who I'm talking about. But, you know, what's wonderful is I thought, oh boy, this is something. But as they've been coming, I remember speaking to his wife And she was like, he's so gruff, and you know, he had such an abusive past. He had a father. He told me his father was so abusive to him and his mother. And, you know, that had gotten into him. Once the tree gets bent, and that was all in him. And I said, let's just trust God. Let's see what the Holy Spirit, I mean, the Word of God says that we can be transformed. Can God do it or not? Or is this, or do we just, you know, put a title over our heads and I'm religious, I'm still the same I am, but I do know Jesus Christ is, or can he change us? Can he truly change us? Can the tree that had gotten bent perhaps by the past, can it truly be healed? Yes. The Holy Spirit can do that. And you know, it's been a blessing to watch this man change by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he doesn't do that. He hasn't done that in a while to his wife. That's just one thing. But he hasn't done that. And now I didn't go to him and say, it'd be nice if he didn't do that. I didn't give him hints or, you know. And his wife came to me just recently and said, I think the Holy Spirit's good for him. I was like, yeah, it sounds right. I think the Lord's moving and changing. And she said, and my mother said that church is good for him. There's a change taking place. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. That's just the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's great. And I just shared about this gentleman. But after she shared that, and I was excited, like, oh, Lord, that's what the chapel is about. Changing people's lives. Christ meeting people. That's the proof of Christ meeting people, when they start being transformed and they start thinking differently and their character begins to change and they become more like Christ. I said, that's what it's all about. And then I felt a twinge. I said, oh, wait a minute. Am I changing? Are you transforming me, God? But then again, I was already perfect. It's a dilemma. It's hard, you know. You know it's true, Steve. Don't even say anything. You know, but am I changing, God? Have I reached a spot where you're done with me, Lord? Is this as much as you I know? And is there, or do you want to change me more? So I asked my wife. I'm undone. No, there's always more to follow. There's more that Christ wants to do in us. The thing is this. The enemy likes to come along and get us to be complacent, right? Well, I'm in church. I tell the folks that, well, we have an ecumenical group in Spotswood, which I don't always like to go to. But sometimes for the town, it's important that I do. Methodist, two Episcopal, a Methodist, and a Reformed church, just to give you their names. And we get together, and they talk about the meetings, and they have the Episcopal. He says he has two meetings on Sunday morning, and the Methodist, they have two small. It's a small Methodist church. They have two meetings too. Sometimes during summer they don't. And I said, well, I have a meeting Sunday morning, and I have a meeting Sunday night. Then we meet. Let's see, when is it? Tuesday evening, and then Thursday for prayer, and sometimes there's some special meetings. And they said I was overworked, right? You know, all those meetings are opportunities for us to let the Lord change us and move in us, to transform us, to keep us focused on Him. It says there in that Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. I looked at that. The whole transformation process is not that people start saying, I'm a better person. The whole transforming process in us that Christ is doing and changing in us and in me is not that you might say, well, he's a very spiritual. Brother Keith is becoming very spiritual. That's not what it says. That's not it. I think sometimes we get out of focus, don't we? I want to become more spiritual. I want people to know see that Christ is in me, and I'm a nicer, and that's all good and well. But the apostle says it's to show the will of God. God's will in my life. How important that is, right? Are you doing His will? Do you know His will? Are we listening to the will of God? It's the only thing that really matters. And so, in my experience, I'm like, Lord, I know You want to bring me on further in Yourself. I know You want me to know You better. Why? And transform me that I might more diligently do Your will, accomplish Your will on earth. We need that today, right? We need to do the will of God. I'll never forget this. Many of you have heard of Dr. Gray. And if you hadn't, he was a real man of God. I think I mentioned him a few days ago. I wanted to say a few weeks ago, but it was just a few days ago. And you know, we really knew that he knew the Bible well, and he knew the Lord well. He ministered to us in such mighty ways. But I'll never forget the day of prayer when, and he was a Scottish gentleman. He did everything deliberately, from putting his cup down to the way he sat down. Everything seemed to be deliberate. And we were in there in a day of prayer, and all of a sudden we were all praying and worshiping, and all of a sudden I heard a bang! You know? What was that? I looked. Dr. Gray had taken a chair. He smacked it right down in the middle of the room, and he started to weep, and he said, "Pray for me. I've hit a wall. I've stopped short. I want to go on with Christ. I need You to pray for me." And we thought, oh, He wants us to pray for Him. Here's this man of God who's walked with the Lord, who's known the Lord, who's ministered in the Holy Spirit, who has all of this, and He wants us to pray for Him because He hasn't gone on. You mean He has more to follow? Yes, He does. Yes, He has more to follow. And we prayed for Him. But I don't know how much help he got, but I'll tell you, I got a lot of help. We all need to press on to fulfill the will of God. I want to draw our attention to, again, to fight the good fight of faith. To what? Lay hold on eternal life. I thought this is what the Lord put on my heart, because we live in such an age where the enemy seems to just be pulling at our saints' hearts, you know? And we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need that instruction that the Apostle Paul gave Timothy. Fight that good fight of faith, and lay hold of eternal life. We have an enemy who wants to rob us. We need to know how to fight. And I want to just quickly mention to us today, I brought these bookmarks if you want one, about how to fight the good fight of faith, and particularly when it comes to temptation. Anyone here ever get tempted? No? Yeah. We always do. Right? The enemy knows how to get us. And for each one it's different, isn't it? Has anybody ever failed here? Brother Keith, don't be asking these kind of questions. We all fail. We do fail sometimes, yes. But the wonderful truth is that Jesus Christ has made a way for us to rise again, and that there's victory for us. Not just a grace that covers, but a grace, as Titus says, that teaches us how to live a holy life. He teaches us that. And so I want to just talk a little bit this morning about temptation, because when we learn to fight the good fight, when we win battles, we're winning for the kingdom of God. I had from vocabulary.com, fight. What is it? The verb fight means to engage in a struggle that involves conflict. As a noun, fight is the conflict itself. I mentioned that, you know, I really am not a fighter. I might argue with you, but I'm not a fighter. I wouldn't want to wrestle you. I wouldn't want to get into a scrap. I survived junior high, like I mentioned to you, which was a war zone, by my humor, you know, or by distraction. You ever watch? I learned in junior high that distraction was a great way to change a bully's mind. Because most bullies don't have much brains. And so when they come after you and they start bothering you, you just have to say something like, do you like the Mets? Questions like that. You know, and I've often found that they were like, I'm going to pound you, Schneider. Do you like the Mets? No, I like the Yankees. Yeah, there's something. Right? Isn't it true? And next thing you know, they've forgotten to pound you. It's kind of crazy, right? I grew up by a place called Bucksmith's. Bucksmith's was a banquet hall for weddings. And I was out in front of the house, and there was the parking lot there, and we could see people coming in and out. And a lot of times, because of the alcohol, there were always, well, the weddings turned more into a brawl, you know? I'll tell you, folks, nothing like ending a glorious, sacred day of a wedding by giving everybody something to drink and watching it turn into a chaos, right? Well, I grew up watching enough of that. You didn't have to preach at me about alcohol. I saw the evidence of what it can produce, and I'll tell you what, it's not good. There was always a fight in that parking lot. But I want to just bring out one for my point today. Because it was very interesting. This guy with real long blonde hair, he was with his girlfriend. They were all dressed up. When all of a sudden, for some reason or other, I don't know, these two guys approach him. And they get into an argument with this guy. And he had just this flowing blonde hair. It was like Thor, you know? Just long blonde hair. And they started arguing. Before you knew it, these two guys jumped on this guy with the long blonde hair. And it was a fight. I never saw a fight like this before. This guy, I'll call him Thor, he mopped up the parking lot with these two guys. Now, I don't know if he knew any kind of martial. I don't know what he was doing, jiu-jitsu, hairaki, hugging, or whatever. But I remember standing there with some like Bob Schultheis and the foot, and we were just watching, ready to call the police, but then there was no need. In no time, this guy was done. And it was almost comical, except it wasn't. Just the way his beautiful blonde just going, and he was mopping up that parking lot with these two guys. He's just battling them until they were like, this is just not going out the way we thought. And the fight was over. Now I bring that out because I remember saying, wow, I want to fight like that. You know? I'd like to be able to do that. You know, maybe I should learn some kind of martial art or, you know, at least something. I said, look at the way that guy handled himself. I stuck with the distraction. I stayed with the distraction. But what I bring that out for you is the tenacity and the vigor in which this guy just handled it. You know, why don't we have that in our Christian walk? Why don't we have that in our battle against temptation? Where, Lord, you can empower me. You can help me. Absolutely. So I might have enough for everyone here. And you might as well, let's pass these around. You could look on with me, and maybe this way it'll go. Thank you for your help, Sean. Appreciate it. You know, we can fight the good fight of faith. We can lay hold of eternal life. And we also can get victories in our life. We don't have to live a defeated Christian life. There's victory for us. God has sent the Holy Spirit, and He has equipped us with what we need to win. I have just a few quotes for us here. Some of you have heard of Herschel Walker. He's an ex-cowboy football player. I liked what he said. He said this: if you train hard, you'll not only be hard, you'll be hard to beat. I thought that's a good quote. Need one more? You'll be hard to beat. The Holy Ghost wants to train us. David says in Psalm 144, also in Psalm 118, is the same thing. He said to God, Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And he gave God the credit. He said, Lord, you taught me how to be a warrior. You taught me how to win. God can teach us how to win. I want you to just for a moment, where are you perhaps threatened in your life by temptation? You know, where you lose. Well, God wants to help you to win. Not just, thank God for the mercy of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are covered, that the sin issue is settled, and that we're not defeated or rejected or neglected by God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I can always come. But God wants us to have victory, right? He wants us to win in that battle. Now, of course, Muhammad Ali just passed away. He said something very good. He said, the fight is won or lost far away from witnesses, behind the lines, in the gym, and out there on the road, long before I dance under those lights. That's so true with us too. The battle is won in the closet. The battle is won in those quiet times, those alone times, where I am made sensitive to the shepherd's voice. When I hear the Holy Spirit in that alone time, makes all the difference. Well, let's jump into it. This is not the full answer. The reason I made this, the Lord put it in my heart, was perhaps this might be in your Bible, or it might be someplace where it reminds you the next time that you're struggling with a temptation. It's not the full answer, but it's some clues. You know, I like the definition of evangelist. An evangelist, which I'm not, but an evangelist is just some poor beggar who found bread and he's telling another beggar where to find it. This has helped me, so I hope it helps you. Look at the very first one. It's simple. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I have the reference here to Nehemiah 6:3. If you know that story of Nehemiah, you know, he had a battle on his hands going back there. And what was that battle? Well, when he went back to Jerusalem after they had been called back there and to restore the temple, he saw the fight was there, that they weren't doing that job, and he needed to encourage them to keep building. But while he was encouraging them to keep building, of course, the enemy came along. Sanballat, Tobiah, came and tried to discourage him and call him away to the plain of Ono. And this is what he said to them in Nehemiah 6:3. He said, I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I liked what Nehemiah responded right away to them. Their inquiries to get him away, to tempt him away from what God had called them to do. He said, I'm doing a great work. Satan knows that we're doing a great work. No matter what that is, that if we're on the king's highway, if we're busy for him, that's a great work. No matter how small it may seem. And he would love to pull us away. He would love, just as with Nehemiah, to call him away. Say, let's talk about this. Let's consider that Satan always starts subtly, doesn't he? He's not going to come with you with a big temptation and say, just quit and run. He's going to subtly get you to come in. But Nehemiah cut him off short and said, no, you know what? I'm doing a great work. What I'm doing for Christ is important. More important than talking with you. He nipped it in the bud. He said, I can't come down. And we need to have that same attitude. The thing that pulls you in the wrong direction, when you feel that pull, nip it in the bud. Say, no, no. And immediately turn your mind towards what God would have you to do. Well, what's the next thing there? The very next thing is this. Arm yourself with Scripture. Now, you hear this all the time, right? But if you have a temptation that is very, very strong and pulling, you know, go to the Scripture and get a verse. Make a word study on that verse. A lot of times we complain about where we fail. We cry about where we fail, right? And say, oh, this. But, you know, we need to go and get a verse and say, God, you give me a Scripture about that. I have here from Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word is very powerful. But you have to ask God to give you a specific verse for your temptation, for where you're weak. God has a verse for you. That works so well. The third thing is this. Be weak and not strong. Now that doesn't sound right. Be weak and not strong. Let me read from what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when he says, 'When I am weak, then I am strong.'" I think one of the mistakes we make is that we try to be strong in the temptation, in ourselves. And as soon as we get the idea that we come up with a scheme of, this is how I'm going to fight this temptation, this is what I'm going to do. I know I talk to a lot of folks who say they used to do this and that, and they put up blocks that they try to block and say, and that's wise, I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying where the enemy deceives us is that Satan knows how to get us around those blocks. The Apostle Paul says, it's better I stay weak so that I'm weak and I'm abiding in Christ. That's the way to be strong. Abiding in Him. Spending more time on my knees. Why? Because I'm weak. Staying more in His Word. Why? Because I'm not able to, Lord, fight this in myself. But I'm leaning on Christ. I tell you, there's strength in that. I'm not just coming up with another scheme and another idea or another way. We need to abide in the Lord. The apostle said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Well, the fourth thing there is this. Be honest with your community. This is a tough one. James writes in 5:16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." This is so important too. I hope that you're in a community that you can trust. I hope you're in a church and a body of Christ that you can trust. What I mean by that is that you can be yourself without pretense. That you can say, you know, this is what I'm struggling with and I really need help. I'm thankful that very often in our prayer meetings, somebody says, you know, I need prayer because I've really fallen into something and I need prayer. I mean, that's great to do. The Apostle James writes, he says, that if we confess our trespasses, you don't have to give details, you don't have to hang out your dirty laundry, you know, and get everybody uncomfortable and awkward, but it's smart to say, I need help, pray for me. You know, I just need help. I need God's wisdom and guidance and strength, and this thing has been taking me too far. And be open and transparent in that way. That's the way you're going to get help from the Lord. Be honest with your community. Again, James says, if you will do that, you'll be healed. Well, the last one is an interesting one, too. It doesn't sound too good to begin with. It doesn't sound too wise to begin with. But explore your wounds. What do I mean by explore your wounds? Well, we have in Psalm 138:8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." The enemy knows where you're weak. He knows where you've been wounded. And you know, he likes to capitalize on that. You know, if you're sensitive you're easily wounded by words, well, that's where the enemy's going to get you. That's where he's going to discourage you. So it's a good thing to say, "Search me, O Lord. Know where I'm weak. Know where the enemy comes in. And give me the strength, Lord Jesus, there. Keep my heart on guard there, Lord. Protect me there." Like I say, these are just five suggestions that have helped me. Very often, the Lord has helped me with each one of these to say, "God, this is a good way to teach me to fight, to train my hands to war, my fingers to fight against the enemy." to stand. Because God doesn't want us just to come under grace as a covering. He wants us to have grace that we have victory in our lives. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we just pray and are dismissed, why don't we right now, just right now say, Holy Spirit, oh Holy Spirit, lead me on. Bring me forward in you. God, you know where I'm tempted. Where, Lord, maybe there hasn't been full victory. God, I believe you for victory. Lord Jesus, oh, thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Strengthen, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, dear Jesus. Yes, dear God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Teach our hands to war, our fingers to fight. Oh, God, not in our own strength, but, Lord, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray for one another. We pray for one another. Oh, God. Lord, we ask that you will strengthen us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that we might be able to fight the good fight of faith, that we might be able, Lord Jesus, to lay hold on eternal life. We ask, God, that where we're tempted, where the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'll raise a standard. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we trust you to do this. We pray, God, that even this day, Lord, with this simple message, this simple outline, that, Lord, the enemy will be defeated. Amen. Lord, that he'll be put, the foe will be chased off. Lord God, that there'll be victory today. Send a song of deliverance. Lord, give us scripture, we pray. Help us, Lord God, not to be strong in ourselves, but, Lord, to rest in you, to turn to our eyes to you immediately. We pray, God, that you'll help us when the enemy comes, even this day, even on this, on these grounds, to nip it in the bud, to say, I can't come down, because I'm doing a great work for the Lord. We trust you to help us, Lord. We know that you will, and we thank you. So we go in your strength and in your grace, Lord, knowing that you are the good shepherd, that you lead us and guide us and bring us on into yourself. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you.